Hello. This is a question which perhaps is on some of your minds. What makes a good Christmas? And I just totally respect that everyone here tonight and everyone at home will have maybe a different answer to that question. We'll have life circumstances which I can't possibly sum up tonight. I think we would all want to have a good Christmas, but what would a good Christmas mean for you? Would that be a comforting Christmas, a Christmas of peace, a Christmas of new discoveries, or a Christmas where generosity would be given or received in ways that you haven't seen before? Or perhaps some of your questions answered. There's so much effort, isn't there, going into how to make a good Christmas. Christmas can be such a stressful time for many people, maybe not for you, you're probably very organized. But what is all that stress about? What is all that effort all about? What is all that? Why one day out of 365 days? Why so much effort? Why so much? What can I do to make Christmas amazing? I think at the heart of it, there's a longing within all of our hearts for relationship, a longing within all of us to make good relationships and to maintain good relationships. And if we miss that particular nephew or niece with the present or whatever, that suddenly the world's just going to cave in, isn't it? It isn't, but you know, sometimes but behind it is that longing for relationship. And then you have all that music. I want to say thank you to the band. You know, our musicians, they work tirelessly throughout the year, and I just want to say a huge thank you to them, and they put an amazing effort in tonight. So thanks, guys. Really appreciate that. But there's really three kinds of Christmas carols, or three kinds of Christian music. And the first one goes a little bit like this. It's cold outside, get logs on the fire, uncork the wine, and let's cheer ourselves up. Now, I could give you all the names. You can probably think of them. I'm not thinking about Ed Sheeran or Shakin' Stevens or Bing Crosby or whoever it is, but all these, you know the songs I mean. This is not the good news of great joy that we read about in the Bible. It's a cheer ourselves up. And that's a lot of pressure. We've got to cheer ourselves up. And then the second kind of carol is, isn't the baby lovely? Let's look into the cradle, gaze. Isn't he lovely? The cattle are lowing. The baby awakes. The little Lord Jesus. No crying he makes. I don't think that's realistic for an all-age service. So I don't think it's realistic for a stable with lots of lowing animals. It's not the biblical story. Jesus was no Superman. Once in Royal David City puts it more accurately, tears and smiles, like us, he knew. Now, the third kind of Christmas carol leads us into the true meaning of Christmas. But it's totally incomprehensible. I don't understand it. And if you understand it, come and tell me afterwards. It goes like this, second verse of O Come All Ye Faithful. It answers the question, who is at the center of the story? Who is at the center of the universe? And who is he? God from God, light from light, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. Very God, begotten, not created. Did you understand a word of that? I didn't. this baby is God from God, light from light, very God. So what makes a good Christmas? It tells us three times, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. That's what makes a good Christmas. We don't have to understand it, but we have to believe it, and we have to respond with grateful thanks and praise. So in our reading tonight from John's Gospel, it said, God became human. Cut out everything else. That is the true meaning of Christmas. Three words. God became human. To show us what he is like, to show us what we need, and to reconcile us to himself. Because just like we have this deep longing within us, which wants us to do all this stress throughout December to make a good Christmas, at the very heart of God is a relationship of three persons. And he is totally relational, and he wants relationship with us. He is not bored with you. He is not disinterested in you. He is crazy about you, so much that he would become like you and live alongside you in order to reveal himself to you and rescue you. The disciples who became apostles, they never attempted to explain it. They just proclaimed it, the good news of great joy. If you don't understand it tonight, don't let that put you off. Because if you think the day you understand it, you will enter into relationship with God, that day is never coming. What you need to do is to believe it, and God will give you a little bit more light, but not full light. Why did Jesus die on the cross? He died in our place for sinners to reconcile us to God. Tell me more, Alistair. Tell me the mechanism. He died for you. He died for me. He died for sinners. Holy God, to reconcile us. When I understand the cross, then I'll become a Christian. No. Believe it. Believe the words. Mary, the angel told her this amazing message. What did she say? When you explain it, then I'll believe it. No, she didn't. She said, let it be according to what you have said. Have we ever approached the Christian life like that? Let it be according to what you have said. Great is the mystery of the Christian life. Not a mystery that is hidden and we have to work out, but something that was hidden and is now disclosed. Something that was not known, which is now made known. And the mystery is great, says the Apostle Paul. God became human. And the one word that sort of sums it up is this word, glory. John says, God became human, and we saw what God was like. We saw his glory. We saw his goodness. What makes a good Christmas is that God is good. That he is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in love. But he's not complete sort of disinterested in evil and injustice. No, he comes and he gets involved, and he comes and takes the penalty in our place. God is not a distant autocrat. God is not like Elf on the Shelf, watching us 24/7, and if we're not good, Christmas is completely cancelled, or you don't get your present. God is not like that. God sees us. There's not a single thing that God doesn't see. There isn't a single word on our tongues that he doesn't know even before we speak it. He even knew us before we were born. And yet he knows that we're not perfect, And he loves us all the same. He loves us so much that he would become human being. When you look in the mirror, do you like yourself? We see all this photoshopping of images online and all kinds of stuff, magazines, looking like the beautiful people. And most people look at themselves and they're not happy with what they see. God likes you. God likes human beings. God became a human being and lived among us. God does not need to be persuaded to take an interest in us. When God created us, do you know what he said? Not bad. He didn't say that, did he? He said, very good. Everything else he made, he said, good. When he created human beings, he said, very good. God delights in us. The carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, says, pleased as man with God, pleased as man with man to dwell. Do you ever think of God being pleased? Tears and smiles like us, he knew. Do you ever think God smiles when he thinks of you? Or do you ever think that God's just got his arms folded, some perfectionist waiting for you to make the next mistake? This is not the God of the Bible. God is for us, and God is with us. The big thing about this Christmas is we're not certain about whether we can see our loved ones. Might have to cancel travel plans. Some of you have canceled them already. Where is God in the middle of a pandemic? He is with us. God became human. He had to struggle and pray and forgive his enemies and suffer. What does the word sympathy mean? It means with entering into our suffering. Do you think that God likes us? God thinks we are worth everything. Everything. That he would give his only son to forgive us and change us. Have you ever thought about that this Christmas? That God values you so much that he would give everything for you, that he would go to the cross. He's God from God. He's also light from light. That means that he is a God of truth. What was he like? Full of truth. Now, the government guidance last Christmas said you mustn't have a work Christmas party. And then photographs emerged of Christmas parties within Whitehall. And the Prime Minister said the guidance was followed at all times. And since then, there have been two resignations, his press secretary, and then the very person who was leading the civil service inquiry, and that person resigned because there had been a party in his department. And that makes us frustrated, but not judgmental, because we would perhaps do the same. Governments and rulers since ancient times have lacked integrity. But God is different. He keeps his promises. He's utterly dependable. He brings out the truth. Jesus shows us reality. Do you want reality this Christmas? A good Christmas is reality. And God is trustworthy. He shows us reality. Just like the car headlights, he shows us the dangers. Just like the lighthouse, he shows us where the rocks are. But do we want to receive his message? Jesus says, I am the truth. And I will show you the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he showed us the truth about God, that God is good, and that no one is good but God alone. And he told us the truth about ourselves, that we are not good, that out of our hearts comes evil thoughts and sexual immorality and theft and murder and adultery and greed and malice and deceit and envy and slander and arrogance and folly. And all of these things separate us from God. But Jesus, like the good doctor, came for the sick. And he came to reconcile us to himself. And that's the third thing. Grace. You see, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin, but the one who was tempted and tried in every way as we are, yet was without sin. And Jesus went to the cross for us, and he took the punishment for our sins in his body, in his human body. The perfect man took the punishment for every other man, woman, boy, and girl who had rebelled against God. And that is why a holy God can forgive a sinner like me, because Jesus came and showed us grace. And that grace is there for us tonight. That grace is there for us every night, not just on Christmas Day. But we have to receive. You see, this question is really a poor question. What makes a good Christmas? Because that puts the pressure on us again. Have you ever felt the pressure in December, getting closer to Christmas? The pressure building? How can I make a good Christmas? I want to ask you, how can you make a good life? How can you make a life worth living? The bad news is, you can't. You can't make it on your own. The good news is that God can. And you take the word good, Christmas, and you take one O out, you've got God Christmas. God, your maker, is the one who can make Christmas and life work for you. But you have to be reconciled to him. If you live under this message of grace, the pressure's off. The pressure's off. If you don't live under this message, as you leave this door tonight, the pressure's on. Are you going to receive the grace and the pressure's off? Are you going to live under the pressure of making it on your own? Remember, God is for you. God loves you. He values you more than you'll ever know. He wants to be with you, but he wants you to change. And he has given us the forgiveness that we need to make a fresh start. But the question is whether we will receive that gift of forgiveness, whether we will receive that gift of God living inside us. Do you remember Mary? She said, the angel said, God's going to come and live inside you, Mary. What? Don't understand that one. Let it be according to your word. And I'm saying to you tonight, if you trust in Jesus as your Savior and receive his forgiveness, he will come by his Spirit and live inside you. And he will change you. God became like us so that we could become like God. As the carol, as the song, There Is a Green Hill Far Away says, he died to make us good. He died to make us good. But we can't do it by ourselves, but by receiving his grace. It's by grace that we come into relationship with God, and we're created for a new life, a new person. were his masterpiece, created to do good works. And what does that mean? That's to be like God. That means we are to value every human being. God values you. No matter who you are, God values you. God loves you. God is for you. God is with you. And when we have God living inside us, we are for people. We are with people. We value every human face. That's a challenge, isn't it? Even our enemies, even the people who make our life difficult, living not for ourselves, but for others. So will we receive through believing in Jesus? Will we receive this gift? And may God make this the best Christmas ever. Amen.